If you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 9, we'll read verses 7 through 9. And as you're doing that, I was reminded that tonight at 6 o'clock we begin our Romans A Bible study at the halls. And so there's still room if you're interested in that. The study is going on. It's a 12-week series, and you can sign up for that in the parlor after worship. Their address is on that sheet. It's also in the directory, I believe. And the other note is Henry noted, Sunday school will begin today after the congregational meeting. And then next week, there's a special Sunday school that I'm going to lead on the topic of where in the world are we in our culture? What sort of culture are we actually living in? I think it would be very surprising what that discussion is going to be about. Things are fundamentally worse than most of us understand in Western culture. And so you don't, not that that's an exciting thing to learn about, but it is a necessary thing to learn about. So that's next Sunday, Sunday school. It's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Listen, this is God's holy word. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard about all that was happening, and he was perplexed because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen. Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? And he sought to see him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. Now you might, if you were paying attention, might scratch your head at why just these three verses? It seems kind of odd, and it's really quite simple. Is that these three verses don't really fit with what went before, and they don't really fit with what went after. They are a self-contained unit. It's just that there's not a whole lot to it. Or maybe there is. I want to talk a little bit about the title for the sermon this morning because, well, frankly, I don't like sermon titles. I've never understood. I just do them because people expect there to be a sermon title, and if it's helpful to you, that's great. That's why I do it. But this title's a little bit different. Because when you look at this passage, I think it fits if you know what it means. Confuzzled. Now, confuzzled was a word that I became acquainted with many years ago from my daughter Lexi. And sometime later, I decided to actually look that up to see if that's a real word. And the answer is as clear as mud. Is it a real word or isn't it? I mean, that's a rather relative question in a sense. So if you go to Webster, at least this is a while ago when I looked this up, if you went to Webster, confuzzled is not in Webster. I was not surprised, and I thought, yes. Because I told her, that's just a word you're making up. And she says, no, Dad, other kids are using this word too. So if you look at the Urban Dictionary, it's in there. And actually, it was at one time at least listed as one of the top 10 words not in Webster's dictionary. So what does it mean? It means a state of bewilderment or confusion. Right? And I probably didn't need to tell you that for you to kind of figure out. It kind of just sounds like that, doesn't it? Well, it fits perfectly with this passage because here we have Herod, and Herod is clearly confuzzled about Jesus. He doesn't know what to make of him. And he is trying to find out about him. Now, Herod, sometimes referred to as Herod Antipas, sometimes as the Tetrarch, is here, and sometimes as king. Tetrarch is his technical title. But he had an interest in Jesus. Now, this doesn't mean he had a holy interest in Jesus. In fact, he doesn't. But it is interesting to note that he is confused about who Jesus is, but Jesus lives in his domain. That is, Herod is the man with the access to the most information in the territory, and yet he doesn't know what to make of Jesus. He doesn't have all the information, although he's the man that is supposed to have all the information. And this is just a reminder to us that information alone isn't sufficient for salvation. Relationship and proper understanding is required. And so he is asking about Jesus. And we can't really blame him because people were saying all sorts of things about who Jesus is. In other words, Herod's a politician. He hears the different things and he tries to make his mind up from the different things, except these different things were so different that he couldn't make any sense of it. But some said different things. In Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do people say that the Son of Man is? So they said, first he asked, who do some people say? And they said, some say, what? John the Baptist. Some say, Elijah. And some say, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. This is almost what it says word for word in Luke. Except in Matthew it adds Jeremiah. And then it goes on to say, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? You see, Herod was missing the point. He wanted to know what other people were saying about Jesus. But it wasn't about what he was going to say about who Jesus is. And so, one of the responses is Elijah. Well, why would some people think that Jesus was Elijah? Because in Malachi 4:5 it says, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And then in Luke, just in Luke, in the first chapter, if you remember this, although it's not referring to Jesus, it's referring to John the Baptist. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. This idea that Elijah was going to come back in some form was very prominent in Jewish thinking. And so it was realistic to think that someone would think that maybe Jesus is Elijah, though we know because of the revelation that John the Baptist comes in the spirit and the power of Elijah, not Jesus. And so, Herod doesn't really give a lot of thought to Elijah, it doesn't seem like. And he doesn't really give much credence to the idea that Jesus is one of the prophets. But he really fixates on the idea that Jesus is John the Baptist. Now, there's one part of Herod that does not believe that it could be John the Baptist, and then there's one part that seemingly does. This is why he focuses on John the Baptist. And you have to remember, Herod, what did Herod do with John the Baptist? He put him to death. He beheaded him. Now, how likely would it be that it'd be John the Baptist then, right? But don't we know how this works? That our sworn enemy or someone that is just a complete nemesis to us, that we overestimate their power? Don't you overestimate, and well, sometimes you underestimate too, but a lot of times we make more out of those who oppose us than we do out of others. And I think that's what's going on in Herod's mind. He's like, man, it couldn't be John the Baptist. I thought I took care of that guy. But he's really kind of worried about it. There's an unnerving that's taking place in Herod. He knows that Jesus is something special, but he can't make out who he is. Well, in Matthew 14, to it says, this is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him. In other words, but it's a weird idea. One commentator says, yet since Jesus and John the Baptist were contemporaries, that is, living at the same time, how could such a belief even arise? No clear analogy exists in which a person thought to have been resurrected and reincarnated into another person. So the commentator is saying people were believing crazy things about who Jesus is. It didn't really make sense. Now, some might say, well, Jesus came in the spirit of John the Baptist. And we know how that is. You know, someone is the spitting image of their uncle or aunt. This question, this seeking that Herod is doing, people are still doing today. People are still asking, who is Jesus? The problem in the church is maybe we're not asking that question, but other people are. Who is Jesus? There is still just as much confusion. Some people still make the claim that Jesus was a prophet. This is what Islam says. Some people say that Jesus was a good man or a guru of paganism, as it were, of Eastern spirituality. That's what Jesus was. This is a question that you personally need to be able to answer. When the Bible says, be ready to give an account, part of that account should be able to be capable of telling another person who Jesus actually is. Because we live in a world where that answer is not apparent. Peter gives us some help with that. I loved it. I love that passage from Matthew when Jesus says to his disciples, hey, what's everyone saying about who I am? And then they give him the answer, and it's as if he says, who cares? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say Jesus is? And Peter gives us an answer. Anyone remember that? He says that you, he's speaking to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. You, Jesus, are God Himself in the flesh. The only way that we can proclaim the gospel is to know who the messenger of the gospel is. As I said, there are many wrong ideas about who Jesus is. There aren't many right ideas in our day. And you know, there are all kinds of people seeking Jesus, but not authentically. See, the seeker-sensitive church movement that is essentially dead now, that everyone thought was going to be the salvation of the American church, presupposed that everyone really was seeking God with integrity. And we know from the Bible that that is not true. Herod was not seeking Jesus with integrity. We learn in other places that the purpose of his seeking Jesus was to kill him. That's not integrity. It's the most important question that we will ever have to answer is, who is Jesus? And the question is, are you seeking Him by the power of the Spirit of God? Are you seeking to know Him and grow in Him? I was struck this weekend reading an article about 9/11. There was a brother who's very close to his sister, and she was on the 104th floor. I don't think anyone from the 104th floor made it out. She didn't make it out. And he made this comment. It was very interesting. And I'm not critiquing him or criticizing him because everyone grieves differently. But he said, you know, for the first decade or so, I just had no interest in knowing how she died. None. I figured I got to get over this and move on. He said, until my children got older and they started to ask questions about their aunt. He said, then I started to investigate. And it just occurred to me, how many people that are sitting in American churches have never done that with Jesus? That took the first approach of, I don't really need to know. I know enough. I know a name. I don't need to know anymore. And then by their children. There's a parallel here, isn't there? For parents, how many parents have been awakened spiritually because of their children? Because they realized that somehow something had to be passed on and they had no idea what it was. And so they start to seek and pursue the knowledge of God. This doesn't always happen. Some parents just send them to the church to do that, or to grandparents. But I think this man, and he was right not to do what he did. He was fine with that. He was fine to search later. There's nothing wrong with that. But the church needs to be searching. We all need to be able to articulate who Jesus is. And I've just told you what a good answer is. Peter's told us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Are you going to leave here being able to articulate that? Being able to open your mouth and declare His praise about who He is? The world has not heard. That's part of what we'll talk about next week in Sunday school. It's amazing. Today we have people seeking Christ for a variety of reasons, don't we? For prosperity. Some for comfort. We're supposed to seek Him because He's God. He's the Creator and the Redeemer. He may bring blessings. He does bring blessings. And He does bring comfort. But we don't seek Him ultimately for that. We seek Him because He is the Lord and King and Sovereign of the universe. Because if you have another motivation, you will be disappointed. As Job found out, right? And he says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, because he understood that God was the sovereign creator. So he stood by him. We must be ready when we seek Jesus for who he is. And what he calls us to. In other words, we're not going to seek and then conditionally give our acceptance until we know exactly who he is. No, we've got to be all in. We can't be fair weather fans of Jesus. We have to accept who he is and what he's doing and what he calls us to. There's no room for negotiation on our end. And so what say you, FPC? Who is Jesus? This is the most important question, perhaps. It's one of the most important questions, I'll put it that way, that we can answer. We need to have an answer to that. And if you're not sure, if you can't answer who Jesus is, then you need to come to Christ today. Because that means you don't know him. If you don't know who he is, you can't claim to know him. That seems rather obvious. But there's a lot of people sitting in pews that don't know who Jesus is and come to him. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Come to the Son of the living God and find life. Come with your sin, for only He can cleanse. Come with your burden, only He can lift. Come with your disease, only He can heal. Come with your wounds, come with your scars, come with your regret, but by all means come. Come to Christ, to the glory of the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.